When Democrats take power in Congress in January, they have plenty of campaign promises to try to make good on. Among them, ending what they dubbed the culture of corruption. But it may not be easy. As NPR's Peter Overby reports, living up to a slogan can be a lot harder than coining one.
The culture of corruption slogan did work out pretty well, in part because of all those examples. Republican Congressman Randy Cunningham was behind bars for bribery. Republican lobbyist Jack Abramoff was ratting out lawmakers to the FBI. Congressman Bob Ney, copping a plea, House Republican leader Tom DeLay quitting under indictment. And, of course, there's Mark Foley and his salacious messages to House pages. Democrats laid out a plan for honest leadership and open government. And emerging from the Democratic caucus yesterday, Speaker-designate Nancy Pelosi made the pledge again.
We will have a rules package that will hold this Congress to the highest ethical standard. We will break the link between lobbyists and legislators.
But that's a link that can be defined several different ways.
You can't say it and then call us the next day and ask us for campaign contributions.
This is Paul Miller, a lobbyist and also president of the American League of Lobbyists. His one-word description for the reform package? Hypocritical.
To my knowledge, Jack Abramoff didn't hold a gun to anybody's head and said, take my gifts, take my meals, and come to my restaurant.
But look at how the reform package would treat lobbyists versus lawmakers. Lobbyists would come under a new Office of Public Integrity. It could investigate and even recommend prosecutions. But House members' ethics would still be enforced by the House Ethics Committee, a panel with a record charitably described as spotty. Mary Wilson of Albuquerque, president of the League of Women Voters, says voters will notice whether the Democrats take ethics reform seriously or try to skate past it.
They should be looking at doing this for their own protection.
But the reform effort has plenty of skeptics in and out of Washington. Julian Zelizer is a history professor at Boston University who's studied congressional ethics over the years. He says the Democrats could claim success if they just diminished the culture of corruption.
I don't think they're going to be able to ultimately end it. You know, a lot of this revolves around the power of private money in politics. And as long as private money is still important to legislators for campaigns, lobbyists will still be important. And, you know, bad things are going to happen.
Pelosi also has some other ethics decisions to make. She probably won't have to deal with Congressman Bill Jefferson of New Orleans. He may well lose his seat in a runoff election next month. Pelosi pushed Jefferson off the Ways and Means Committee earlier this year after it turned out that FBI agents found $90,000 in his freezer. But there's also the touchy matter of Alcee Hastings of Florida. He may be in line to chair the Intelligence Committee. As a federal judge in the early 1980s, Hastings was charged with soliciting bribes, then acquitted in court, but then impeached and removed by Congress. The case took an even stranger twist in the late 90s. Some of the testimony at trial was found to be tainted, but Congress never reexamined the impeachment. And then there's Alan Mollahan of West Virginia. He's next in line to chair the Appropriations Subcommittee that writes the budgets for the Justice Department and FBI. Last spring, the FBI subpoenaed records of several nonprofits with ties to Mollahan. The case involves questions of appropriations earmarks and real estate deals. Mollahan's office says the FBI has never contacted him. A spokesman for Pelosi says it's far too early to talk about subcommittee chairmanships. But for now, it seems that Mollahan is on track to take charge of the very panel that oversees the budget of the agency that would have to prosecute any congressional scandal, assuming we still have those. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.